So, pretty fucking exciting. This is the 50th episode of Ham Radio. Technically, it's probably a little bit past the 50th, because occasionally I did shows back in the day that I didn't number right, for whatever reason. But I thought, hey, number 50, that's pretty fucking cool. I should try to make this fancy pants. So I asked a whole bunch of people that I know and like if they wanted to contribute bits to this show. Pick a song that they like, explain why they like it, tell a little story about it if there's one that applies to their life in some way. And as I record this, I'm still waiting for a few to come in. They might not all be in time, but if not, I'll seed them into the next show or make it a two-parter or something. But let's start right off with the big guns. Keith and Hemda, the most famous people that I know. I was like, hey, how would you guys like to be on the show? I figured I'd just get a little tiny clip from each of them next time I ran into them. But I ended up being on the show last Friday, so we did an after show with blabbed a bunch about music. And unfortunately, it started with me and Ian getting in a big argument, which it's kind of been an off and on, facet of this show in the last few months, is the fact that we fight and make up and fight and make up and fight and make up quite a lot. So if anybody's curious to hear what one of those fights is like, a little bit of it is still in here, but most of it is like, I don't need to hear that shit every time I go listen to my old ham radios. But it's on the Keith and the Girl backstage feed, keithandthegirl.com. Go look for their backstage shows. Hemda said it was her favorite after show ever, so I don't know that that's necessarily a compliment, but there you go. I guess, though, the difference is, as I say, in our little argument, I used to get more upset about these things. Now I just kind of stonewall. And I was a little shocked to listen back to it, to hear like how quickly I just really got defensive. Too fast. Trying to do better with that. But yeah, listening back to this, I was like, calm the fuck down, Keith McNally. What the hell's the matter with you? Anyway, point is, if you want to hear that, it's out there. But it's not really related to this show, so I cut it. Because I like listening to my old ham radios. I was just listening to Ham Radio 17 the other day that me and Brad did. It's just nice. I recorded that one right before I left my hometown to come to New York. Nice to remember. I want to remember nice things. So, it's enough fucking babbling. Might as well start this off. So, we're gonna start with some Keith and Hemda fucking blabbing. Ham Radio 50! Yeah! Oh yeah! Here's to another 50! Another fucking 50,000! Alright, let's just start it.
Three of us, or just one at a time?
Yeah, it's all good. We'll just all blab, whatever. So, are we recording now?
Yes.
All right. Sorry. It's okay. Do whatever you're doing. I'll talk to Keith. It's okay. Don't worry.
It's gonna. Okay.
It doesn't matter. Trust me.
Okay. When my song comes up, yes, it does matter.
All right. So, this is Keith McNally. This is my 50th episode of Ham Radio, my podcast where I talk about music that I like and relate it to my life. I was actually listening back the other day, just reminiscing. Do you remember the old podcast I did with Aaron from Vancouver, Lageria?
Yeah.
I was re-listening to that, and I was like, that was not a bad podcast, but I don't know, something about adding music to the mix makes it so easy for me. I could do this forever. That old one is like work, you know? Like, I'm sure you guys, it's like work, right? You got to have notes. You got to have interesting things to say.
We are thinking of changing the show to all songs.
Yeah, well, it's nice. You just run out of shit to say. You're like, fuck it. Here's a goddamn Crazy Town song. Whatever.
Were you the one making notes for Lagaria?
Mostly it was me, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and man,
did
so
you
much
think
work.
Of calling it Keith and the Girl Part 2?
Well, that was my kind of plan, was I was going to put it out on the weekends. So for like Keith and the Girl addicts that had no shows on the weekends, then they could have a show.
But what was the hardest part of that, getting together or just...
Or that you wanted to fuck her so bad.
Everyone thinks that. They really do.
It's so funny. Was they all fat? Think that.
She's a little fat. She was cool, though.
I saw a picture. I didn't think so. Ian bulimic.
Well, you know, that's one thing. Ian, you're always saying,
a little
like,
vinegar wouldn't have hurt her. She seems nice to me.
How you wish you had bigger boobs, right? Because you're short. And it's like, how unfair is it?
I wish bigger boobs because you wish I had bigger boobs.
Hey, don't put it on me. You're always talking about your boobs. That's you.
If you were not talking about other chicks' boobs, though, I wouldn't be talking about them.
Oh, I'm not going to pretend I don't like boobs. Let's not be crazy.
Are you
here.
A total boob man? Like, what's your ideal?
Yeah.
Really?
He's into tits.
I have nothing against tits, but the fact that you don't have tits is not that big a deal, because what I was trying to get to here is this girl Erin I knew in Vancouver. She had huge tits, and she complained all the time because it just made her look fat. You know, it's like not necessarily a blessing all around.
You're saying Ian doesn't have breasts. If I
Ian is saying Ian doesn't have breasts, okay?
You're saying I don't have breasts.
You're size A.
And when I leave, you're not going to care that you don't have big boobs anymore.
I'm just a fat
girl,
so... The bee that looks smaller on
me. Riddle me that, Ian. If I wasn't around, you wouldn't constantly wonder why you have such small boobs?
No, because honestly, I kind of think that the fact that I have smaller tits balances my figure a little better.
This is horse shit. I have never had anything against your tits. You do. It's all your issue.
No, and that leads us to the song Titty Magoo by the...
No, that's not true.
That is absolutely 100% true.
It's really not.
It's not. You...
No, because I like my tits. But
then
you,
why do you constantly harp at me about how your boobs are
because
too small?
You constantly harp at me at how much you like big tits.
I have an idea.
The new song, Land of
Whip
Confusion.
Out. I'll be the judge.
All right.
That's fair.
Hold on. I'm going to pull down my tights so I don't look
I am going to play a song before we get to Keith and Hemda. I'm going to play the NoFX song, You're Wrong.
It's tough when he's in control of all the songs.
Wrong about virtues of Christianity, and you're wrong if you agree with Sean Hannity. If you think that pride is about nationality, you're wrong. You're wrong when you imprison people turning tricks, and you're wrong about trickle-down economics. If you think that punk rock doesn't mix with politics, you're wrong. You're wrong for hating queers and eating steers if you kill for the thrill of the hunt. You're wrong about wearing fur and not hating Ann Coulter, cause she's a cunt in cunt. Or you're wrong if you celebrate Columbus Day, and you're wrong if you think there'll be a Judgment Day. If you're a charter member of the NRA, you're wrong. You're wrong if you support capital punishment, and you're wrong if you don't question your government. If you think her reproductive rights are inconsequent, you're wrong. You're wrong fighting jihad. Your blind faith in God, your religions are all flawed. You're wrong about drug use, when it's not abuse, I hope you never reproduce. You're getting high on the down low, a victim of the COINTELPRO. You're wrong, and we'll probably never know.
All right, so... 50th episode of Ham Radio.
Oh, yes.
So for my milestone show, I decided I was going to ask people to, excuse me, to...
What's wrong, buddy?
You're okay?
Yeah.
All right, good.
My whole life is
this how you host your show?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, you heard that one that you played at the end of the show the one time.
Do you want some cleansing water?
You want some vinegar juice?
So I'm asking people to pick a song that they like, and then this is what I do. I just pick a song that I like, and then it tends to get me talking about stuff. So for this show, I'm getting as many people as I can to.
I will take from Tesla the album Bust a Nut, Cry.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with Himda. So I asked Keith and Himda if they wanted to be on my show, and I just thought, I don't know if Himda had a song in mind or anything, but I remember her mentioning on the show before Alanis Morissette, this song called Uninvited that's from the City of Angels soundtrack. And I
love that song.
Yes, it popped up enough times on the show that it stuck in my head. So I was just suggested it to her. I was like, hey, you want to play that song on the show?
Actually, that makes my life a little bit easier because I don't want to pick my own song.
Right, you're busy. So
I don't know.
Yeah, just tell me whatever comes to mind, whatever pops into your head about that song and how it's, I don't know, how you heard about it.
I was dating an angel.
Not Keith. Or anyone named Keith, because, oh my God. I have no idea how I heard about it, but the lyrics to it are so simple and so awesome, and I think that Alanis Morissette has a way of doing that. I think that later on, she started doing that a little too much, and it just became talking without the profound anything behind it, without the poetry.
And then we went
like,
to the store and picked up some carpeting. The carpeting wasn't on sale, and the gentleman said, would you like it on sale?
Yeah. There really is a song that goes, as we were talking outside, it was cold.
Annie DeFranco?
It's just talking, and I feel slighted by that. So anyway, but this one just seemed like it was so fantastic. Like, even the word uninvited, I'm going to be so gay about this, but the word uninvited is just like, yeah, you're uninvited. Like, I think, like, it's so many things to me. I just feel like sometimes you invite some people into your life or your heart or whatever, and then after they're in, I can't even look at you people as I'm saying this corny, corny shit, but I really believe it. After you let someone into your life, you're like, ew, you don't deserve to be here. And this is so, like, big feminist whatever. I don't mean just being a woman. I just mean, like, you let the wrong people in because you get high off their something else. And then once that high goes away, because those highs are just, I don't know if they're just superficial or momentary or whatever, you go, yeah, not you. You're uninvited because you were the wrong reason. You were the wrong timing. You were the wrong, like, not the wrong timing, but the wrong reason and the wrong everything. And it just doesn't matter anymore.
Well, that certainly is a weird song that doesn't relate in any way.
Yes.
I'll just say, I do like that song a lot, and I like a lot of Alanis stuff, but Alanis really has a different connotation to Canadians because, well, that show You Can't Do That on Television, the one with when they said, I don't know, when they got slimed, it was the whole basis of the early Nickelodeon, but it was a Canadian show, and Alanis used to be on it. So that's the first way we knew Alanis.
As a pop dancer, right?
Well, she was like 12. She was really young when she was on that show. And then she put out two albums, only released in Canada, and she was like Canada's like version of Tiffany. Like, they were pretty bad. And I distinctly remember we have this channel, YTV, Youth Television, and there's this one ad where you enter the little contest, and she's like, and you could win dinner with me, Alanis. So then, you know, in 95, I was visiting my cousins, and we were watching TV, and You Oughta Know came on, and it was all rocking and hardcore, and we were just like, is that fucking Alanis?
See, but two things. One is I always forget that she's Canadian, but every time somebody mentions it, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense because she has this funny accent. And it just, all right, now that makes sense. And two is I don't think it's fair to judge people. Like, if you were candy pop, whatever, but you decided to go rock, I think people change in their lives so much that if she did it right, she did it right. And, you know, I don't want people to judge me about when I was 12, when I was 17. I have better ideas now. I have better thoughts. I maybe listen to better music. I maybe can write better music.
You would never fuck the uncle from Full House.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, when you look back at Alanis, she did co-write like every song on those early pop albums. And
which is fine. Like, I have silly ideas too, but I also have, you know, better ideas. So if I wanted to put out my silly ideas and then my smarter ideas, you are supposed to get smarter. You know, I just feel like if she tried to do it and then, you know, the response was, you're just not rock, you're just not this, but she did it and then the response was, she is, maybe because we didn't know better as Americans, but she still deserves the credit for it.
Well, ultimately nobody really held it against her. I think, like, if you look up the statistics, it's like 1 in 4 people in Canada have Jagged Little Pill. Like, it sold so many copies.
Wow.
But at first there was
I have two copies.
Why?
I don't know about you, because grandmas bought it for me. I asked both of them for Live Through This and Jagged Little Pill, and they both got me Live Through This and Jagged Little Pill.
They did put out a Starbucks special edition to that album, all acoustic.
Which is so
of
weird.
Jagged Little Pill, yeah. Only available at Starbucks. It's kind of a weird thing.
I had the Unplugged of Alanis Morissette, and I love it.
Like anyone. hot-blooded woman I have simply wanted an object to crave. But you, you're not alone. You're uninvited, an unfortunate slight.
It's just, you know, you do, I see the point about doing something, you know, you're young, you're certain that you're whatever. Do you guys know the works of Caprice?
Oh. Did she have
there
works?
You go.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Bye.
Just for the record, this isn't my song. I still get my song later.
I'm not embarrassed by that. I just forget that I actually recorded things.
Do you still get money sometimes for these the old songs you did?
That I didn't write on, and it's more writing. But I did recently get a BMI check. I get checks from other things that I write.
We just got a nice check for
it's
a song.
It's not big.
It is nice. I don't know what big is. It was nice.
So, Keith, what yes. song is near and dear to your heart?
None, really. I don't listen to music.
Yeah, shit.
Brother Love got me into the AC/DC song, which made me look at other early AC/DC songs I didn't pay attention to. Inject the Venom.
I don't know that one.
Oh, I love that one.
Really? Well, luckily, I'm going to play it.
Maybe if I heard it, maybe I know.
Not yet. I'll tell you when. I'll tell you when you heard it. I don't know. It's one of those songs that... Like, I remember when, you know, maybe I had my shit stolen or just, you know, even if it's my fault, I don't have rent money and I'm living in a shit apartment. Just really upset. And I'd put on, like, fuck you music and things like that. And it would stop me from getting into a fist fight. It would really calm me down, this angry music. And that's how it let out my anger. So I can't even look at you guys now.
I hate you.
Play her part first, so that makes sense.
No, that's kind of interesting because me and I did a whole show about girl music, and we were talking about that, like how she's just not into any heavy music. But I remember listening to Anthrax as a kid and just being like, no, or like, you know, whatever, Slipknot. I'll fucking crush your bones.
And I would think that music would only make me angrier, but it calmed me down in a way. You know, there's been Limp Bizkit. I was like, I will punch your fucking face. Now I don't have to because I heard that song. You're lucky. You know, I'd see at work.
Such a rock star.
He was though back then.
I tell you, wow! I'll tell you what. You know, the song sold a few albums, but how dare you?
He has a small penis. Okay.
But Inject the Venom is about you know, you get what for. No mercy for the bad if they want it. No mercy for the bad if they played.
And it's just no mercy for me.
It's just a great song. You're a bad fucking person. Now you get what's coming to you. I like it.
Nice.
Here's some other lyrics. Got no heart, no feel no pain. Take your soul and leave a stain.
Is that by AC/DC or Alanis?
Like a cat, I enjoy.
That was a fucking blast from the fucking past, man. Wow. That was good.
I do remember back, way back, I used to work at a comic store back in Canada, and I was a teenager, and this one metalhead guy always come in named Jeff, and we just buy about metal shit, and he told me his, you know, he bought every AC/DC album, and he said, they're all, you know, about the same level of quality, none of them are bad, but only every second album sells. It's like every second album, everyone's yeah. like, holy shit, AC/DC, remember them? Like, that's what's yeah, happening yeah. right now yeah. with, what was their album, Black Ice?
Wow, how long's that been? That's 7 years minimum, right?
But then I'm sure if you look back, the one before that, no one gave a fuck. But then the one before that, everyone did. Like, he says it's every second album, everyone remembers AC/DC.
Wasn't the last one, not to shit on your thing, I see what you're saying, because it's not fair because it's been so long. Wasn't the last one Razor's Edge?
There wrong? Must have been something, but I think that's kind of the point, is that they have these like yeah. albums that like they kind of know they got to get through it. It's like, right. well, we got to make this album no right. one's going to buy. And then next time, I thought that was mildly interesting. I'm taking the metalhead's word for it.
All right. People say every song sounds like AC/DC, like that's a joke. I don't know. They got a best of that can sound nothing like, I don't know, Back in Black, Now Inject the Venom,
for those who want to rock.
Right. Thunderstruck. I don't know. Those are totally different songs, you know.
Maybe it's because his voice is so unique.
They're so different. You're like, what band is this?
right.
Now, Newsy, obviously your favorite song is Release Me.
Oh, I still listen to that all the time, actually. No, since we're all talking about emotions and how songs make you feel, a lot of the stuff that I've been listening to lately doesn't even have words in it, so it's not worth talking about.
Oh, that's so sad. You could have words in your music like regular people.
But one song that does, whenever I hear the lyrics, it really gets to me is Mess by Ben Folds.
You don't have to play everybody's song, right, Keith?
Go look it up. You'll like it.
I'm not really a very lyrical person. When I hear lyrics, most of the time it's just to sing along with them. But I pick and choose lyrics from this song, and it talks about making a mistake, making a mess of things, and just having to accept the fact that you fucked up, and it's a shitty situation, and I feel like I've had enough experiences like that in my life where I've just screwed up, and it's like, well, fuck, I screwed up, now I gotta deal with this, and yeah, that's probably what hits closest to home for me.
This man, I have made. I don't open anymore. You'll see books and pictures on the floor. But she will never see, she'll never see that part of me. I wanna be for her what I could never be for you.
So Newsy's all into sort of ambient and whatever it is. It's music without lyrics, right? So before he started listening to the Keith and the Girls show,
I used to go to Borders, mainly Borders, where I bought my CD, and I would.
And then you stopped and they closed.
I would pick up a CD and just based on the cover, I would decide to go with it. But there's this one CD in particular. Why the fuck can't I think of what it's called? Right, Conjure One. Conjure One.
Oh, really?
Oddly enough, which Kemda was on. And this had to have been back as far back as like 99, 98. And I guess, I don't know if that's when the CD was made or not. It was a while ago.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But I would pick the CD up all the time and I would think, yeah, I should. Nah, not so much. And I'd put it back every single time. Yeah, this happened about 10 times. I had picked up that same CD, and I would forget what it is, and I'm like, oh, no.
He tells me this, and I'm not sure if I should be like, oh, that's... Wait a minute, you always put it down.
Yeah, if
that's
it ended cool. with you buying it, yeah. We'd be in a better story.
And he actually listens to that kind of music. I didn't even know that. I was like, oh, you know, Conjure One's not for everybody at all. You know, it's not poppy at all. I don't know. Maybe Poe's songs are more poppy, but... Then I started hearing what he listens to, and I'm like, you're an asshole. What made you put this down?
I'm a very impulsive shopper. That's all there is to
it. No, you're not. Impulsive would have been like, I bought it 20 times that I picked it up and put it down.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Shut up. Don't judge my words. But another fun fact is a guy that I dated for a while. We didn't talk.
What? No.
Actually, I lied. A while. It was like 2 weeks.
Kind of a
while. after I started listening to Keith and the Girl, I decided to, you know, talk to him again. And I told him I was listening to the show, and he was like, Keith and the Girl, he was like, what is that? And I started explaining to him, and I said Kemda's name, and he was like, oh, yeah, I saw her at Nation a couple years ago when she was on the Conjure One tour. And I was like, well, all these things are like pointing in my past that I should have found her earlier, but I never did.
And you still don't own Conjure One.
I still don't own Conjure One. Was I supposed to? I feel like a jerk now.
No, I wish they give me copies of the CD and I could just hand it to you like, here, motherfucker. Except they throw it at your head. But no, I got like two copies of it myself. And I don't know where one of them are.
I listen to a lot of music without lyrics because I'd rather just, I don't know, let the music speak for itself. Like, I don't need to interpret every song and figure out what everybody's trying to say and stuff. I'll sing along with a song just to sing along with it, but then I'll listen to it like a third or fourth time and I'm like, oh, that's what they meant? And it kind of changes the song's meaning for me. So if I don't really know what it means, I just enjoy it for what it is, and I like that a lot more.
Are you going to admit your love for freestyle?
Ooh, I bet most of the people in this podcast do not know what freestyle is.
Can I admit my love for freestyle?
Oh, God, yes.
Because I love early 90s freestyle. Because there's nothing like a breakbeat with some girl kind of slowly rapping over it to make music awesome.
They tried to get me to do that like a couple times in the studio.
Fucking love it.
They're like, after every time, they're like, you know what? Forget it. We'll skip that part.
What is, if I was going to play one, what's an example? What song could I play to represent?
You're not going to play it once you listen to it. Johnny O is huge.
I'm trying to think of freestyle groups that I liked.
Lil Susie. I don't know.
Band that talks like this and then talks like this and then talks like this. And then, I don't know. How would you describe
you're
it?
You're my dream boy.
Yeah.
They love it everywhere. They have to
summertime,
say
summertime.
But you have to say it like that. You make me feel special every day. Now I know that dreams come true. You're my dream boy.
Would you consider like
Real McCoy? Oh, and then the break is, you say that I'm your dream girl. You're all I want in this world. And then at the end, I don't know the lyrics really. And then he goes, talk to me.
Would you consider like the Real McCoy freestyle kind of?
Or what maybe was
like
that
the end of it? Run away
and save your life. No, that was more dance. I think.
I came in on the tail end of the.
Holy shit, Keith, what else do you like? Name me a song fast.
Tamika says, what is your favorite iPhone app? Well, there's many different things. I'm liking the Chess with Friends, but I think that you can't just have people that you kind of know. I think they actually have to have your phone number. I'm not sure.
Tell you what, play the rockin' song you got and see if the iPhone can tell us what it is.
Of course, I know it can.
Well, what you got, man?
You're just setting me up to play the rockin'est song ever.
You think you rock? I doubt you're rocking. I want to see you rock.
You son of a bitch.
You don't rock. You ain't nothing, man.
My friends told me that I was lucky to have a girl like you.
I am a real American.
That rock's pretty good.
I fucking love this song.
Durr. Kick it, rock.
Slide.
So to close this out, if I'm not mistaken, McNally, if you would grab a microphone there, please. After, sure. This is your 50th show.
Yeah, I think I've probably done more, but I numbered them weird sometimes. But yeah, 50 officially.
May I first say congratulations?
Well, thank you.
Secondly, have you played already your favorite song? Are you sad sometimes that you hosted 50 shows of songs? What are your feelings? Here's the side of that. Nobody said, hey, let me host a show and say, what is your favorite song?
Yeah, actually, I think I played it twice.
Yeah, probably,
already,
right? Okay, well, talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
What is your favorite song?
I don't know that I got a favorite song right now. I'm like one of these people that has to hyper-categorize music. Like, that's my fifth favorite line from my second favorite song or whatever the fuck.
What's the first song you had sex to, do you remember?
Geez, I don't know. That girl listened to a lot of just, like, I don't know, like this fruity ambient dance shit everyone loves.
Yeah?
So something like
that.
What
was the first album you ever bought?
Faith No More, the real thing, on tape, on cassette.
Isn't that so fucking weird? How old are you?
29.
That's so fucking weird.
Well, Angel Dust was already out. Like, their next album was out, but I wanted to get the real thing.
What's weird?
The age difference. Yeah, want it all. And that's the first album he bought.
I loved it. Every song is good.
Yeah, but there's not a huge age difference between you guys.
5 years. It feels like a lot when you name a song or a movie like that.
It does make a difference. Like, in 5 years, music kind of moves on. Like, that's where I'm way more the fucking Pearl Jam Nirvana guy, because I just was a little too late. I just got it like the tail end of like the hair metal stuff. If I was 5 years older, I would love every band that Keith loves.
I'm still doubting
how
that.
How dare you?
There's no
a homosexual
question.
Voice is just as loud as a heterosexual voice, and how dare you?
Because there's places where we have crossover. Like, I think me and him are the last two guys on the earth that still think Limp Bizkit was good. Fuck the rest of the earth.
Here's the problem. Fuck all the millions of people that bought a Limp Bizkit album, right? All of a sudden, society decided it wasn't cool like last year's Manolo Blahnik.
You and the Manolo Blahnik.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden, I can't believe you had last season's wardrobe. Well, I'm sorry. I liked the scarf then, and I don't think the scarf's so bad now. And yeah, he is a fucking child that made some bad shit. I don't even know that people listen to his music to even judge it, quite frankly, anymore. Because that Pink Floyd cover he did, I didn't think that was so fucking horrendous, quite frankly. I thought it was quite good. And I don't think you know his new shit, but all of a sudden that old Behind Blue Eyes, and you hear the old shit that he did, and boom, you just heard Behind Blue Eyes. Now you hear the old shit he did is all of a sudden disgusting to admit. Yeah, well, some people bought it.
Then why can't you admit that Madonna's good? Some people bought her too.
Not that it's good.
Oh,
Madonna's fine. Madonna's fine.
I'm just saying, because everyone says...
Like, oh, you can't deny it, sure. Okay. Of course not. She reinvented life.
Several times.
Yeah, I don't know how she did it. I'm into something new now. I don't know how she fucking does it. You gotta admit, that's brilliant. This time she wore a cowboy outfit. You gotta admit, that's fucking brilliant. You gotta admit, every video being a cowboy.
This time he wore his hat, like, sideways backwards. And I'm like, oh.
So anyway, I don't know where we were going with that, but good on us.
That, of course, we conclude with the song. McNally, go ahead. Wow, this is exciting. May I? It's not my place. So you edit this how you want to for your shit. But I am, of course, recording this. And I'm going to tell you now, I was recording you weirdos earlier. But I'm going to end this with the song that McNally wants from the largest jukebox of all time, Keith's Jukebox. I, of course, have every song. What would you like me to play, buddy?
Well, of course, if he has every song. For like a 2-year period, my favorite song was Elliott Smith's Independence Day. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Keith has that at hand.
Sure.
For sure. So yeah, let's finish off with that. It's a really nice little, it's sort of a quiet tune.
Right.
Really makes you think.
Well, let me tell you, I very excited. 50 of the show. Here's to 50 more. Right? Or are you done?
No, I'm good. I really think it'd be cool. I wish I had the technology, like how podcasting and shit is actually like attainable now. I wish I had been doing this shit like in high school, just to hear what kind of stupid, dumb thoughts I thought were important. And then 10 years from now, I'll know what shit I thought was important.
I don't think, I see what you're saying. I don't think we want to know. You know what I mean? I don't think I want to know the shit I was thinking.
I was going to be a little curious. And I figure if I'm like, say I'm 80 years old and I'm still once in a while doing one of these, I wonder if I'm going to be listening to crazy new 80-year-old new shit, or if I'm still gonna be like, man, Nirvana Unplugged was the best fucking CD. I'm curious.
You know, I think there's a reason that God doesn't let us remember when we shit our pants as a child.
Right.
I think it's the same thing. Don't want that. Well, here it is. You requested Modern Day. Modern Day Cowboy by Tesla from the album Time's Making Changes. Obviously from the other album first. Talk to you later. Thanks, buddy.
what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. Behind blue eyes, and no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours, only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. What it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back his heart on their anger. None of my pain will can show through. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours, only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free.
Discover L-I-N-E-T-O. Discover L-I-N-E-T-O. Discover L-I-N-E-T-O. Discover
what it's like to be mistreated, to be defeated. Behind blue eyes, and no one knows how to say that they're sorry. And don't worry, I'm not telling lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours, only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. Behind